Perfect. Thank you. All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your attendance for today's meeting. We're going to jump right into things. We have a pretty lengthy agenda, but I would say some good things. So we're going to jump right into it. So to start off, I'm going to do attendance, and I'll start with myself, Tyrell Sampson. I am present. Zach Moore.
Present.
From our administration, Jesse Toe.
Present.
Okay. Nick Fienza. Dave Walsh.
Good afternoon.
Joel Garcia.
Present.
Okay. Committee members, Chairman Frank Roberts.
Here.
Vice Chair Brandy Altiger.
Here.
Keith Haley.
Here.
Amos Katorma.
Here.
Shelley McDermott. Carmela Ferreira.
Here.
Rich Braccio.
Here.
Alternate Dave Pelagi.
Dave is here, he may be muted.
Angel Torres.
I'm here.
Alright. I believe Dave was still on, but I don't see his name, so okay. Alright, excellent. Let's jump right into the agenda. Looks like we need the approval of the minutes of March 8th and May 9th.
Adam Fairbanks is here.
Oh, and is there anyone else that I did not call on this call? Adam?
No, I don't think so.
Alright, so we have Adam. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right, so we'll jump right into the approval of the minutes of March 8th and May 9th. Chairman, would you like to take this?
Sure. I'd like to see if someone would like to make a motion to accept the minutes for those 2 minutes.
Keith Haley would like to make a motion to accept the meetings as presented, the minutes of the meetings as presented.
I'll have a second.
Brandy Altiger will need a second to accept the minutes.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carried.
All right, perfect. Next agenda item, budget update. As today, we have approximately $1.6 million in the account. Pepsi's monthly commissions maintain these past 2 months of above $60,000 a month, and we anticipate that number to grow as we head into the summer season, assuming that the rest stops will generate additional revenues for traveling. So all in all, I'd say our budget is remains strong, no concern in that area. So. That is a good thing. Other than that, I mean, I think we continue to do what we're supposed to do. We're obviously trying to provide as much assistance we can with our budget to operators who are currently operating within the program by, you know, providing any sorts of equipment and anything that's allowable or permissible through our accounts. And I think we've been doing a good job with that. I think it's important that we keep in mind that any decision that we make within the program to replace or repair, there is a countrywide struggle with not just employment, but employment, parts, equipment. There's just several factors that will hinder many of your locations should you have any need for replacement of equipment or repairs. And I think we have to be cognizant of this and understand that our turnaround times, we don't dictate turnaround times. Our suppliers and our service providers dictate that. So at times when we, you know, find ourselves in a crunch, we have to keep in mind that we're kind of at the hands of our service providers and our suppliers. So please keep that in mind. We will work as quickly as we can to do all that we can do for all of you, but it's a lot of this sometimes is out of our control, and I just want to make that make you all aware that the same issues that are going on outside of the program day-to-day life are a hindrance to our program as well. So if there's any financial expenditures that we are capable of providing for you all, we will try to do the best of our ability to ensure that we take care of you and provide service that you guys expect and that we, you know, would like to do. So just keep that in mind. Moving on next, Schedule C's. Important. If you have not submitted your Schedule C, please submit your Schedule C into me. It's important. We got to kind of just make sure that we do the things that we're supposed to do on our business end in a timely fashion, because that leads right into my next topic, and that's retirement contributions. There are a lot of retirements in state government. We all know this. And with that, there are a lot of retirements in the retirement division. And with that said, many of the people who have been laxed over the years in accepting our late retirement contributions, and I don't mean late by month, but late by year or 2 years, 3 years, have never really balked at us or you all in particular as, you know, providing a penalty for late submittals. It is permissible, it is allowable, and we don't know who's taking over whose jobs and so forth in that division. And I hate to see someone either new or someone who already has a list of duties and responsibilities take on this new task, because they're likely to follow this, the proposed guidelines of, you know, tacking on any penalties to late filers. And I'd hate to see any of you get that penalty. So please submit in your retirement contributions timely, along with your Schedule C's. So, I think I've covered that. Budget updates, Schedule C's, retirement contributions. All right. Next on the agenda, federal property vending machines. Well, I think we did it. And what I mean by that is we were able to create two vending routes based off of the federal vending machine placements that we currently operate. We don't have all of the machines under the scope of opportunity, and I'll explain that in a minute. However, we were able to create two solid vending routes to date. Number one would be the Hartford Post Office. We have that set up, and we were actually able to slide Dave Pelagi in that role of responsibility and new quote-unquote facility opportunity as of June 1. So Dave has officially been named the operator for the Hartford Post Office's vending route. Dave met with Servomation. He's partnered with Servomation. It's a kind of a win on both ends, because I've had meetings, Tracy and I, with RSA, because we were trying to see if we were able to maintain these machines under the contract, the Servomation contract or statewide vending contract. A decision that Dave also was agreed upon to doing. And RSA was okay with that. They actually thought it was a solid idea and looked at it from many different angles, from expense standpoints to also the point of the fact that we, our statewide vending contract is a lucrative setup, and they saw no problems while allowing operators to still utilize the third-party vending company to service these locations and keeping these, I'm not saying maintaining, we don't maintain owners of the vending machines, but we're keeping these machines on the placement of our contract agreement, which works, because Pepsi also is okay with that, because they still get the sales volume of sales factored in on this contract. So with that being said, Servomation will be paying directly. That was the only thing that RSA requested, is that payment not go directly through or come through us as an agency to the operator, and that the payment would be directly from the partner, which would be Servomation. So Dave met with Servomation. They explained the responsibilities, and also they showed Dave, I believe, all of the placement of the vending machines, and Dave is going to be visiting each location once a week, and has a list of responsibilities that follow that partnership. So we're very pleased. Dave's happy, and I think overall this was a good move for sure. So with that, we now have a second opportunity open, and I'm thinking that the placement for the second opportunity should start July 1. But this second opportunity of vending will be for the southern part of the state. As you all can imagine, Hartford Post Office is very lucrative because there's a lot of vending machine placed in the main location. So that itself was a very lucrative opportunity. However, the southern one, which spans from New Haven to Greenwich, it's approximately, I believe, 8 post office locations. Based off of looking at the prior commission reports, we anticipate this opportunity to generate somewhere in the ballpark of 17 plus 100 a month in commission. So it's 8 post office locations. At the moment, I don't have them, but I know it spans from New Haven to Greenwich. And I will start to call operators that are on the promotion and transfer list as soon as probably tomorrow to establish an interest. The same rules would apply with this opportunity. You must visit each location at least once a week. With that, you know, some of the responsibilities are to be included would be verifying the pricing in the machines are in accordance with the contract rates that we have for all of our vending machines. Wiping down the machines, essentially being a liaison between Servomation and the post office. So if any issues occur, you would essentially hear from the post office and relay that to Servomation. You know, suggestion boxes may be necessary. Verify no jam product. So, you know, everything that I would say has to do with outside the business end of the vending piece, the filling of the vending machines and so forth, that will still remain the responsibility of Servomation. But the auditing aspect of things would be the responsibility of the vending route provider. So this opportunity, again, it's from New Haven up to Greenwich, and the same rules would apply. You must have physical presence at least once a week. RSA was very strict in conversations in my meeting with them as to making sure there's a role and responsibility, and that this is not just a pass-through opportunity. With that being said, I assured them that we would make sure that any operator who has chosen or has been selected for this opportunity will you know, have physical presence and ongoing responsibility. So that is the now second opportunity for a vending room. Now, there are remaining machines left within this agreement, or I should say within the federal vending machines on property. However, it's 27 locations, approximately 50 vending machines, and based off of what I've seen in Pepsi as well as Servomation, these are very low dollar profit machines, so much so that I believe at any point Servomation or Pepsi may want to remove a few of these machines, because a couple of them have been observed to have commissioned amounts of $5, average sales, monthly sales of less than 100. And with gas prices constantly going up, it's now becoming a big issue. So with that being said, we weren't taking these machines and creating a route. Because just to give you an example, when I say these machines span from pretty much all part of the state, I mean, you have, in this list, you have some machines that are in Brookfield, Enfield, Torrington, Guilford, and that total amount of machines, those 50 machines, would potentially average a $1,300 a month commission. So, and again, the same rules would apply as they do for the Southern route and Dave's route. You must visit this location at least once a week. So it's really unrealistic. In speaking with RSA, they did state that, you know, low volume machines and so forth, if they're determined to be low volume and the committee agrees to maintaining onus of these machines, it is possible that we can maintain these machines through our current agreement and even future agreements without giving them directly to an operator. They made that clear. If they're not of value and they can't be incorporated into a vending group, and they're low volume but, you know, assets that the program would like to retain, there is a process in which we could still maintain these low volume machines as a benefit, obviously, to our program, and it's you know, and even with a low volume profit would still be of assistance to any expenses the program makes, even if it's not directly in the pocket of an operator. So it is food for thought right now. We're not really looking to obviously make any decisions with this. There's continuous conversations going on with us, the agency, Servomation, and Pepsi in regards to those low volume machines, and we may be able to, as we continue assessing, evaluating these routes, and whoever may be with the Southern route or Dave, maybe, you know, these guys might want to take on something that's even far off and maybe build their routes to some capacity, to some degree. So I don't know. Right now it's kind of up in the air. We got to kind of figure out what makes the most sense for everyone that's involved, and then we'll get back in regards to that. So the good news is we essentially opened up to two new opportunities, so that is good.
Quick question, Tyro.
Yep.
Sorry, Frank speaking. That all sounds great, exciting news. Just to throw this out there, I know you can't answer it because you're saying, let's see how things are working out. But as you know, there's only two of us, me and Rich Bracha, that really do vending ourselves. Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility, would you entertain allowing maybe a machine, a location that's close by me, a location that's close by Rich, for us to expand our businesses into something like that?
I would say, and obviously I can't stick to giving you a yay or nay, but I would say that I think when we evaluate the machines and the profitability, if there's profit that seems to make sense, then maybe we could potentially do that. But again, you got to consider, if there's profit, it first and foremost, it would be up to Servomate, well, more or less Pepsi, to dictate the allowance of the removal of any machine that they signed onto by contract. So I can't really say yes or no, but I would also say that if there's anything that Pepsi or Servomation is looking to remove, it's because there's just no profit. Now, I mean, you know, you could obviously give it a shot, but I don't want to put an operator in a position to take something that appears to be dead and say, here you go, give it a shot, let's see if you can make it alive. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I'm more so talking the higher end of the lower commission machine. If it happens to make sense, if there's a decent, halfway decent location right down the street from me, then that might make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there's a couple things we have to review, and I think, you know, that's something that we have to kind of take offline and work with, you know, obviously our vending partners to see what, you know, where their minds are with these machines and you know, kind of take it from there. And then I'll see. I can't commit to anything that, you know, not in a position to. So. But we're looking at all options. I guess that's the safest thing to say, is we're you know, considering all options. And obviously, first and foremost, it's to increase profitability to an operator first, followed by, you know, the value, looking at it from a value perspective from a contract. So in my mind, I'm always looking at operator increase first. So that's how I look at it. Keith, I see your hands up. You're on mute, Keith, though, if you're good.
Yeah, no, I'm good now. Keith Haley speaking. What happens to these routes, hypothetically, say Dave didn't take Hartford, or if nobody takes the Southern route, what happens to the vending, the commission on those vending machines?
Well, I think, I would say if no one takes the routes, then maybe we would have to go back, and reevaluate the reasons why, you know, if that, let's use Southern, right, because there's a span of opportunity. So let's say someone says, I want to do Southern, but I just can't get to the peak of Greenwich. I just can't. So then maybe we would look to maybe remove that piece of business and kind of evaluate what to do with it. You know, I think the one thing that I want to make clear on this call is RSA did state that we are not obligated to immediately force over these machines to operators. So, you know, they made it clear to us that, you know, take the initial action, obviously, you know, do what we're asking with the TAC. But if for whatever reason it just doesn't get all the way into the operator's hands, even in the existing contract, you know, keep working at it to essentially give these opportunities directly to operators. So we're not really under any timeline, but I do want to provide opportunity, and I do want to obviously create opportunities, because we've lost a lot as a program. We've lost essentially like 10 or 12 locations. It's not that we have 10 or 12 operators sitting home. We don't. But I am trying to build the program back with some integrity that gives some true financial value. So in my mind, everything that I look to do, or we as an agency look to do, is to provide real opportunities. So I think with these two, starting off with these two opportunities, these are going to essentially provide above minimum wage opportunities. And that's been my goal. That was something that I spoke with RSA about. And they understood my position of thought, is that, you know, I think that's the whole basis of this program, is to essentially do that. So that's where I'm looking. Now, if we can't fill them, then we'll have to figure it out. But I'm hoping we can. I'm hoping we can. If you got another question, Keith?
No, that pretty much answered it. But as long as like we're not, the program's not losing the money. Like if we don't have an operator, it's not like that money goes just, I don't know, back to the federal or something. At least the program still gets some money. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. I think right now things stay the same. So it kind of look at it as there were 105 vending machines on federal property. We're kind of like picking them out, right? We're just picking out all of the good ones, all of the ones that could provide true opportunity, all the ones that make logistical sense. And I think that's the key here, is that because this remaining block of machines are just everywhere, it's unrealistic to think anybody's going to, you know what I mean, go to 27 locations, view 50 machines a week all over the state of Connecticut. It makes no financial sense for $1,300 a month. You know, so that's why I'm kind of like, yeah, we got to figure it out. In addition to that, another piece that we didn't factor in, that when we were looking at these opportunities and creating these opportunities, is that because RSA stated you should receive payment directly from your partner, don't forget you have Servomation is 80% of the service provider for snacks, but there's still three other companies. So let's just say this third opportunity came in existence to say, I'll do it. You would be getting bits and pieces of payments from Pepsi, Servomation, from Fairfield Vending, from, you know, from everyone, because they have to pay you direct. So there's that piece as well that we had to consider when putting these things together. So we'll see. All right, so we have that. No other questions. We are going to go to Greenwich concession. So Greenwich has started. I think I don't know if last time we talked if we did, but I believe April 1st was the official kickoff, if I'm not mistaken, and it has gone exceptionally well. Very, very busy. A location that, I mean, you know, we kind of heard that it was a place that gets busy, but I think we're observing that sooner than we expected. Sovi Ramirez, who is the operator, is doing a great job. It's been a team effort from a program standpoint in getting that location up and running. It's incredible. I think we as a program have really done a great job in ensuring that we've given Sovi the best opportunity she can have in doing business. We've installed additional equipment. We've gone down to assist with the day-to-day operations and any training needs from an employee standpoint. Sovi's been very receptive to our assistance. The town of Greenwich has been, pretty good with, welcoming us into this opportunity. Dave's done a great job working with Sovi, Joel, Jesse. I mean, it's really been all hands on deck in this case. And I think the goal here is to ensure that we leave a mark that resonates throughout the state for other potential town opportunities down the line. So business is good, a lot of volume, but I think we're in a good position to do very well, and so he's happy, and it's just busy, and I think it's just going to be a great summer for her, and I've gotten great feedback from the town thus far, and I anticipate that we will continue to get that feedback. So it's good stuff. I think it's a good position for our program overall, and again, another opportunity that is a good viability, and that's to me is a goal. So I'm very pleased with that. Southern Connecticut State University. Southern Connecticut State. Well, I don't know if we call it breaking news. Hey Dave, I see you on camera. Sorry, Dave. Southern Connecticut State actually looks like it's going to come to fruition. I'm working, and it appears that we are on the home stretch of coming to an agreement. And Amos Fatorma has decided to be the operator for this opportunity. I'm currently working with Sodexo VP and our attorney to come up with some memorandum that kind of outlines what this opportunity is going to look like. And this is big. I think this is probably one of the biggest things in a while for our program, because I'm looking past just this opportunity, and I'm kind of forecasting that we should be able to, kind of use this philosophy and this concept, and based off of Amos's presence and which I know he's going to do a great job, I think this Southern will be the model for the other state colleges when those come up for opportunity. One thing that we were trying to figure out in this opportunity was exactly roles and responsibilities and where we've kind of landed up to this point, because I got a text from Sodexo's VP last night, is that the managerial training with the phase-in approach to a managerial supervisor role is the best approach in this opportunity, because it's very difficult, as we had a meeting last week, to identify what an operator's responsibility truly is going to be. You have Amos, who's eager to wanting to have an active role, which obviously I'm grateful for. RSA is ecstatic for, because that's what this is all about, is having active roles of responsibilities. Now walking into the world of Sodexo, who, they have this standard formality of how they operate as a business. And so making sure that we can kind of position Amos can position himself in this operation where it doesn't step on union lines, because that's a big thing in that area, but also be of a benefit to the overall agreement. So they're very pleased with our thought process of the, you know, reception of taking the training and phasing in responsibility. Amos will be